Look at Psalm 1. Don't you wish that these verses would describe you? Verse 3. An individual that's planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water. You see the S on the rivers? It's not just one river, but it has access to the abundance of all of the minerals that are there and all the hydration that would come from all of the waters of multiple rivers. And he says, here's a man who is like that. He's planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in its season. Don't you wish you could be that as a Christian? When you begin reading this, and then he talks about what he does prospers because of the decisions that he's made. That's not true of the ungodly. They're not planted by the rivers of water, and they shall come under the condemnation of God. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I read this psalm, that's the way I want to be. When I think about God looking down, and there are two kinds of individuals on this earth. They are those individuals that morally may be upright, but they're ungodly. Why? Because they have sin in their life. And they may in some respects have prosperity, but not the kind of prosperity that is in view in this. How on earth do you get there? And that's really what this lesson is all about. I want us tonight to talk about take time to be holy. And the whole purpose of this lesson is to motivate every one of us who's here tonight to make some changes in our lives so that we can be holy. Because you see, we misunderstand sometimes the sources of spirituality. There is no quick fix for spirituality. I want you to think about spiritually minded people that you know. And I want you to step back and look at their lives and you wonder, how on earth did they get there? And why is it that some individuals, when they get in that latter part of their life, they're very spiritual people and others are not? I remember somebody saying to Brother Gus Nichols, "Brother Nichols, I would give my life if I knew the Bible like you do." And you know what his response was? "Well," he said, "that's what it cost me." Where do you see yourself as you come to the sunset years of your life? Young people, it's difficult, I think, for you to think about the sunset years of your life. But someday you're going to be as old as your parents. Someday you're going to be as old as your grandparents. How bitter are you going to be at that time? What's going to be your personality? Where will you be? Will you be that individual who is so self-centered that no one likes to be around them? And I'm not talking specifically about any grandparents, but they are grandparents that are like that, are they not? Don't shake your head. Your grandparents might be looking. You stop and think about it for a minute. Is that the way you want to be? Bitter, self-centered, unhappy because nothing is going right in your life? You and I need to recognize that what we are when we're 80 years of age and 90 years of age, if by the grace of God we were to reach that age, is being determined by decisions that we're making right now in our lives. You look at back in Psalms 1, one other time that says, verse 2, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law does He meditate day and night." Folks, there are no quick fixes. Sometimes we live in a day and an age in which the prevalence of the charismatic movement, and that is I'm talking about that movement that's in the religious world where people are claiming to speak in tongues, but I've got the word tongues in quotation marks because they're not speaking in languages. Tongues in Bible times were real languages, but they're speaking in ecstatic utterances. And their view is that if you cannot speak in tongues, you're not nearly as spiritual as they are. Do you know the church that had the greatest number of spiritual gifts so that Paul would say to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, he says that there's no church that has more spiritual gifts than you. There was an abundance of it. How is it, brethren, when you come together? And then he begins to list all of the miraculous aspects of the manifestation of God in their midst. But he said in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, to a church that had the overabundance of tongue speaking, I wanted to write unto you as unto spiritual, but I could not, for you're carnal, you're fleshly. And part of the appeal of the charismatic aspect of tongues is because it appeals to the fleshly side of man. I'm not saying that people are not sincere who are involved in that, but it is an attitude that all of a sudden I'm not spiritual, and then the Holy Ghost comes down on me, and I become spiritual, and I start giving ecstatic utterances, and I've seen them in my lifetime jump up and start running around the building. I've seen them roll on the ground in the sawdust. That's why in years ago, they were not mockingly called, but they were accurately described as holy rollers, rolling around on the floor. I've seen them jump up and run in the church building on the pews and jump from one pew to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, as though that's spirituality. The church at Corinth says, you have more spiritual gifts than any, but you're carnal. There's no shortcut for spirituality. And then, you cannot go down to the bookstore and buy a book entitled The Seven Habits of Spiritual People and read that book and think by the time you've read 350 pages, you'll be spiritual. It's not going to be that way. It is not going to be that way. For you see, the reality is, we began our walks with the Lord as babes. And there's a process in the Bible by which we reach spirituality. And so I want to develop tonight's lesson around song number 619. If you want to not pick up your Bible, but pick up your song book, we'll have the words of the song on the screen. 619 is a song which I believe poetically expresses this very matter. I have been, as I've stated in that lesson this morning, the last 2 years, trying to pay greater and greater attention to the words of songs. And here's one such song, written by a man born in 1822. That gives you some idea of how long this song has been around. This song has been around, well, not quite 200 years, but 160 years. It's been around for individuals to think about it. Now, let me just point out in passing, you have your song book open. Do you see that 11, 11, 11, and 11 up there in the upper left-hand corner of the writer of the song? That's a musical notation, and you don't have to know this to get into heaven, but it means that there are 11 syllables, followed by 11 syllables, followed by 11 syllables, followed by 11 syllables. And in ancient times, whenever they did not have music in books and things of this nature, they would write songs, and there would be songs that have 11 syllables and in the back of this book, in the back of this very song book, you can find the listing of songs that have that meter. And over and back, there's only about three pages over there, and you can find some other songs that have that 11, 11, 11, 11. Look at how that works. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. 11 syllables in that first phrase. But it's not the phraseology of this, but it is rather interesting to read about where the song came from. I believe his first name is William. Longstaff is his last name. Was a church treasurer. He was not per se a musician. He was not a pastor. He was just a member of a church in Sunderland, England. Oh, about 40 miles north of London. Treasurer of a church there. It was called, the name of the church was the Bethesda Chapel. The Bethesda Free Chapel. And you heard a man preach a sermon, a missionary from China, who made one phrase in the midst of that sermon that said, "It takes time to be holy." And that phrase got in the heart of Mr. Longstaff, and he wrote these words. You and I need to understand that the Bible talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs were songs that were given in the first century by the Holy Spirit of God. God gave them songs to sing. They didn't have song books. They didn't have anybody who could sit down and write songs. And so, like the Holy Spirit gave them prayers in an unknown tongue, and thereby we know if they were needed in an unknown tongue, they were needed in a known tongue. God gave them songs in unknown tongues because they had to have something to sing. And those are what's involved in spiritual songs. When I was a boy growing up, I thought that spiritual songs were songs that came out of the black culture. In fact, they were called spiritual songs. Songs like Little David, Play on Your Harp, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Songs like The Head Bone's Connected to the Neck Bone, The Neck Bone's Connected to the Backbone. Coming out of the black culture. I've got shoes, you've got shoes, all of God's children's got shoes. And those songs came out of the slaves in America who working out on the plantation and had no shoes to wear. And so coming out of their heart were these songs, and every one of them speaks to you. Swing low, sweet chariot. Think about those spiritual songs that were there. Spiritual in that sense, but not spiritual in the way the Bible. Spiritual songs in biblical times were songs given by the Holy Spirit. Now then, there are two other kinds. There are psalms. And those psalms primarily are those that are found in the book of Psalms. We sing so many of them. We sing phrases of parts of psalms over and over again. Many of the choruses that we sing, you know, in the back part of our book, the 800 to the 950 songs, and those number of songs in the back, many of them are phrases out of the Psalms, and someone with musical ability has taken those and used that to write songs for us to sing. And then there were those Psalms just directly from Judaism. And evidently there were New Testament Psalms that were written. And the fruit of all of that is hymns. Hymns are songs that are not Psalms in the sense that they're given directly from God as Psalms, but songs that were written by individuals that had spiritual depth. And we owe an unbelievable debt to people who write songs. I would like to encourage you to think about writing songs. I'm not musically talented. Well, neither was William Sutherland. He did not, William Longstaff, he did not put the music to these. He sat down and wrote a poem that that has meter in it, 11 syllables at a time, and rhyming words at the end of every 11th syllable is a rhyming word for the next 11th syllable that's found. Dirk Summerlott. And I'm not sure when Dirk did this, but Dirk wrote a song, and it's a very, very simple song, and it's just a phrase that is repeated over and over again. It's very much like the song, God is so good, God is so good. There's just a phrase that comes out of that. Where does that come from? It comes from an individual in his life working or just sitting in his car or something. Just start thinking about God. And so, William Longstaff wrote this psalm, Take Time to Be Holy. We've got it on the screen, and it's all in white text as it's on the screen. But I want us to take this and look at this song in three parts of it. And as you'll see, they'll be color coordinated, so you'll be able to understand the parts that we're looking at. First of all, let's look at this song, Take Time to Be Holy, because it does take time to be holy. Look at how it is used in relationship to private devotions. Mr. Longstaff got to thinking about holiness, and his study of the Bible and things of that nature led him to phrase in a words that touch our very soul. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. I want to tell you something. You'll not be a holy person if you don't pray. I want you to think about the spirituality of a young man named Daniel. The great spirituality that he had in his life. Do you know what Daniel did? Three times every day in his life, he prayed. I'm confident he did not start that, you know, late in his life, and all of a sudden he thought, well, I think that might be a good idea. Daniel, just a youth, started praying to God. Inell and I went to Athens Bible School. And Inell, you probably never were in grammar school chapel when Brother A.J. Rawlins would stand every day in chapel and we'd sing together. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Boys and girls, did you pray before you left your room? Everybody raise your hand that prayed before you left your room this morning. And in chapel, we'd have to do it. And I was so embarrassed when those times I didn't want to lie about it, so I wouldn't raise my hand. And I prayed, not because I wanted to, because I was afraid I'd be embarrassed, but Brother A.J. Rawlins. But you see, the writer of that song had something to say, did it not? But you think about the spirituality of Daniel. What about David? Are you aware that David prayed three times every day in his life? I want to ask you something. And be honest, not out loud, but be honest with your heart. How often do you pray? It takes time to be holy. And you might want, as we talk about this tonight, you might want to think about some specific changes that you're going to make in your life. Because I want to be spiritual. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Is that where spirituality comes from? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law he meditates, listen, day and night. It takes time to grow spiritually. And you and I need to understand that unless we make time, make times in our lives to think about spiritual matters. It's not going to happen. It takes time to be holy. And then the other part in that first verse is, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Look in the second part of the second verse of this song, the second line of that that says, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Wouldn't you just love to have lived in the first century and to have been able to have sat and talked with Jesus and ask Him what you ought to do about what's happening in your life? Wouldn't you like to have lived in the first century and just been with Jesus and just sat down with Him and say, I want to go to heaven. Tell me what I can do to go to heaven. Tell me how I can be a better person. Jesus, I really want to be like You. Do you know that He speaks to us? Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. And then the last part of the last phrase in that third verse says, looking, ever looking to Jesus, still trusting His Word. My brother and my sister in Christ, those of you who are near the exit end of your life, are there changes you need to make right now? At 80 years of age, 90 years of age, are there changes that you need to make so you'd be more spiritual? It takes time to be spiritual. But especially to young people, I want to urge you to think about making a time in your life to read the Bible. Make a time in your life to pray to the Lord. And that time becomes holy and sacred. It is your quiet time with the Lord. And you're not accountable to anybody on this earth. It's not that you say, well, I'm going to tell everybody that I'm doing it. It's not that at all. It's just a desire that you have in your heart. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be the kind of husband that has the impact on my family. Are there changes that you need to be making as a husband that will allow you to be the spiritual head of your home? Are there some decisions that you need to make? Look at this psalm again, or look at this song again, and look how it discusses in this next slide about how busy this world is. Look at the start of the second verse that says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. How much free time do you really have? Think about it. Think about how much pressure there is in the workplace just to make ends meet. Think about how you feel a burden of spending time with your friends. You don't want to be a hermit. You don't want to be that individual that just goes to work and then runs home and sits down and reads the Bible. That's not what we're talking about. But you see, if we're not careful, this world that rushes on will choke time for spirituality out of our lives. This past week, how much time did you spend looking into the Word of God? Or was this busy rat race of life, did we get so involved in it that we never had any time because the world rushes on? Look at the next phrase, in that second stanza, the last phrase that is there. thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. In this busy world, there's the salt and there's the light. But you cannot be salt or light unless you take time in your life, just you and the Lord. Are there changes that you need to make in the way that you're spending your time? Look in that first stanza and look at the third line of that third of that first stanza that says, make friends of God's children. Make friends of them. If evil companions corrupt good morals, what does being with godly people do to you? I know we cannot live this world and live out of this world and aloof from this world. I know that there will be acquaintances that we have. But if you want to be spiritual, you cannot spend all of your time around those individuals whose values are just exactly opposite of where you are. In a world that's gone crazy on material things, you can't be around people like that all the time and hear them have those values in their life. Evil companions. Not immoral, ungodly companions, though those they're certainly included in that, but evil in the sense that it pulls us away from God. If we're never around spiritual people, we will not be holy. Make friends of God's children. And then the other aspect, make time in your life to get involved in others, in the lives of others. Help those who are weak in this busy world. And look at the fourth stanza that says, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. In this busy world, listen, there is a peace that you can have that passes all understanding. But you'll not have it if you don't take time to make the God of peace and the Prince of Peace your companion. And then finally, look at this psalm in relationship to the matter of time with the Lord. Different in a sense from that devotional private time because of the phraseology that's there. In the third line of the second stanza, by looking to Jesus, like Him you shall be. Do you know where I got my southern accent? Do you know why I say McDonald's properly and you guys say McDonald's improperly? You know where that comes from? It comes from the place where I grew up. I became like those people around me. And especially young people, there is the tendency in your life, if you don't make up your mind, I'm going to live differently, you'll be like everybody else at school. There won't be any difference in the values that they have in their life and the values that you have in your life unless you make up your mind. Young adults, you're not much better off than these young people are as far as those things that are there. Because now you've got money. Now you've got income. Now you have the power to make decisions. You have freedom to be around people. You have freedom. Look at this. If you'll spend time with Jesus, you will look like Him. We'll come back to that in just a moment. One other point in connection with that. Look at the beginning of that third stanza. Take time to be holy. Let Him be your guide and run not before Him. Whatever betides. When Peter got ahead of Jesus, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I believe that's the chapter, that, Lord, You will not die. I know You've just said that You're going to die, but it's not going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. Jesus turned to Peter and says, Satan, get behind Me. And when we get out ahead of God, we haven't taken enough time to be with Him. And when it says, whatever betides, it says, in joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. Go back and tie together the last two lines of this song with the lines that we just looked at a moment ago. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. If you got your Bible, here's a verse that you ought to know. Here's a verse that will help you understand how God's Holy Spirit is going to help you to be holy. Holy Spirit of God, help me to be holy. Holy Spirit of God, help me to be spiritual. Holy Spirit of God, help me to be like Jesus, my elder brother. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. I want you to understand this. It's a thing that those in the charismatic movement have no clue about how God's Spirit is going to change you. With an open face, an unveiled face, we come before God. With an unveiled face, and we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Here it is. We look into this mirror and we spend much time in secret with Jesus our Lord. He is that companion whom we spend time with in our lives so that we can become like Him by looking to Jesus. Like Him thou shalt be. Look at it, he says. You look and you see in a mirror what Jesus looked like. And then he says, with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are being changed. Not instantaneously. Not just by reading a book. But by looking in a mirror and seeing the glory of Jesus, we are being transformed into the same image. Look at this. By the Spirit of the Lord. You want the Holy Spirit to change you? The Holy Spirit can never change you until you spend time looking in this mirror and saying, that's what the Son of God looks like, and I'm a child of God. That's what I'm going to look like. Dirk reminded me of something this morning, that when I talked about WWJD, He says, Dan, it's not WWJD, it is WDJD. What did Jesus do? Not in some imaginary way I try to figure out from my own resources, what would Jesus do in this situation? I look into this mirror and I look and see what Jesus did. And then I go and do it that way. But you can't do what Jesus would do until you know what Jesus did. And I look into this book and I see what Jesus was like. And that's how God's Holy Spirit transforms me into the image of God. It cannot happen with a closed Bible. Brother and sister in Christ, I want you to be spiritual. I want to be more spiritual. But it'll never happen until we make a conscious decision in our lives that we're going to change. There's a modern response, and this is not original with me, and we'll just read through this rapidly, where somebody looked to this 23rd Psalm that says, take time, and the modern response is, but I don't have time. The world rushes on, and I'm busy rushing with it. Spend much time in secret. I like to brag about anything I do with Jesus. With Jesus alone. Huh? Then I'd have to turn off my iPod and my text messaging. Like him thou shalt be. I'd rather imitate someone else. A Bill or a Rick or an Andy or some modern Hollywood star. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Modern response, don't expect me to be that kind of an example. Two views of it. What you are 30 years from now will be determined by the time that you spend with the Lord. God help us. Let's sing a song of invitation. If you've decided to become a Christian, you can do that tonight. You can become